So yes, we are in our second week of our series of four on the book of Daniel. And like me, you might be wanting to just look at the fun stories contained in that book. You know, the ones like Daniel and his friends in the fiery furnace, and we'll be looking at that next year. Or Daniel in the lion's den, you know, the fun stuff. The stuff where you used to, you know, from Sunday school, where you used to get the paper plate and put the orange crepe paper around it and make it into a lion. You want to do that today, don't you? I know. Well, but today we're going to look at Nebuchadnezzar's second dream. And we can see the consistency of Daniel's character. And it's because of his consistency, his unwavering stance of prayer, on prayer, and his commitment to God and God's word, that when he fully comes under pressure, he doesn't cave in. Instead, he stands firm. I wonder, though, how do we cope when we are under pressure? Perhaps we could become irritable, or maybe we panic, or perhaps we get angry with loved ones. And it could even be that if we're able to hide it, and then just like a pressure cooker, we steam and steam until we explode. Thank you. And I wonder why we sometimes feel under pressure. I guess we do when we feel circumstances are out of our control. Perhaps when HSC exams are on as well. And perhaps that's just the parents. Happy birthday to Gavin, by the way, today. If it's your birthday today, happy birthday to you too. And I guess sometimes we feel that we're under pressure, maybe even when we're tired. And yes, God says, come to me, all who are heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. But we can be the answer to our own prayers in that sometimes, and we can just get a good night. We can try and get a good sleep, can't we? We can just take ourselves away and get a rest. But I suppose we come under pressure too when we think that things aren't going our way. And when we feel sometimes when our basic needs aren't met. Or maybe we come under pressure when we're not too good at prioritising. And it could even be that we're late to an appointment or to a meeting or we've got caught in traffic. And sometimes there is just no explanation for anxiety as an illness. But life for us too can be complicated. And we are much too vulnerable in our human condition to ever escape the inevitable battles with being under pressure and feeling under pressure. But for followers of Jesus, stress can have a bit of a positive side. It can be a reminder that we to walk closely with God. It might be an indicator that we need to continue relying on him for daily strength. And there are ways that we can cope with stress. Lots of practical health tips, and honestly, I don't think I'm in any position to lecture any of you on any of those. But we can, as Christians, we can pray, we can meditate on the word of God, and we can praise, and we'll see in just a moment that King Nebuchadnezzar did just that. But Daniel prayed fervently, and we heard some of that last week. He meditated on God's word, and he praised God, and still he felt under pressure. Well, Daniel certainly wasn't running late because of traffic, and he did come under pressure. Pressure to tell the king what he wanted to hear, what the king wanted to hear. Well, okay, the text doesn't exactly say that, but I imagine that Daniel, like us, had feelings. We all have feelings. So put yourself in Daniel's shoes. Would you want to tell a king that he was deluded and that actually there is only one king and it's not him? Well, the small k king, Nebuchadnezzar, was a proud man. And this certainly is displayed in our chapter today. If you'd like to open your Bibles to chapter 4, I'm reading from verse 5. Daniel chapter 4. I had a dream that made me afraid. As I was lying in bed, the images and visions that passed through my mind terrified me. So I commanded that all the wise men of Babylon be brought before me to interpret the dream for me. When the magicians, enchanters, and astrologers and diviners came, I told them the dream, but they could not interpret it for me. Finally, Daniel came into my presence and I told him the dream. He is called Belteshazzar, after the name of my God, and the spirit of the holy gods is in him. I said, Belteshazzar, chief of the magicians, I know that the spirit of the holy gods is in you, and no mystery is too difficult for you. Here is my dream. Interpret it for me. These are the visions I saw while lying in bed. I looked, and there before me stood a tree in the middle of the land. Its height was enormous. The tree grew large and strong, and its top touched the sky. It was visible to the ends of the earth. Its leaves were beautiful, its fruit abundant, and on it was food for all. Under it, the wild animals found shelter, and the birds lived in its branches. From it, every creature was fed. In the visions I saw while lying in bed, I looked, and there before me was a holy one, a messenger coming down from heaven. He called in a loud voice, "Cut down the tree and trim off its branches, strip off its leaves and scatter its fruit. Let the animals flee from under it and the birds from its branches. But let the stump and its roots, bound with iron and bronze, remain in the ground, in the grass of the field. Let him be drenched with the dew of heaven, and let him live with the animals among the plants of the earth. Let his mind be changed from that of a human being, and let him be given the mind of an animal, till 7 times 7 pass by for him." The decision is announced by messengers. The holy ones declare the verdict, so that the living may know that the Most High is sovereign over the kingdoms on the earth, and gives them to anyone who wishes, and sets over them the lowliest of people. This is the dream that I had. So absolutely no pressure for Daniel then to interpret it. This is the dream that I had in verse 18, King Nebuchadnezzar had. "Now, Belteshazzar, tell me what it means, for none of the wise men in my kingdom can interpret it for me. So, Daniel, tell me what it means." No pressure for Daniel. So here we have a tall, bit of a tall poppy. You know that phrase, right? And in this case, he was a tall tree. So King Nebuchadnezzar was a proud man. In fact, he was the tree at the centre of the earth in his dream. He had delusions. And the tree was tall and strong. It reached to the top of the heavens. It was visible to the ends of the earth. Its foliage was fruitful and beautiful. It provided shelter. It provided food. It felt it met everyone's needs. And it was a pretty proud tree to accomplish all of this. Yes, Nebuchadnezzar was a pretty proud man. And even though last week's message reminded us that he paid lip service to Daniel's God, it didn't really go past that. It didn't really go past lip service. You see, Nebuchadnezzar had experienced the awesomeness of Daniel's God, yet this lip service and head knowledge didn't cut to the heart. And so consequently, Nebuchadnezzar was self-reliant. He continued to live his life as though he had all the answers, as though he were that symbolic, tall and mighty tree. Friends, if we've seen something, if we've had an insight into the awesomeness of God, if we've tasted how good the Lord is, why would we not want more? Why would we choose to live without him? Well, Nebuchadnezzar had seen something of God, and yet he didn't want to change. He didn't want the experience of God to impact his life. The thing is, if we truly meet with God, we can't help but be changed. It's always interesting to stumble across people in the workplace, and you may know of these people too. You may stumble across people who feel that they've made it, those people who feel that they have it all. At one point in my life, I worked at a stockbroker on the trading floor in Japanese equities. So if you wish to know about anything about Japanese companies or stocks and shares, don't ask me. But at that company, I certainly saw lots of people who felt that they had it all. And there were some pretty big egos there. Some were very proud people. And we all know that we don't have to be a king or a stockbroker to be proud. We don't have to be a ruler to think highly of ourselves and our achievements. We don't have to be the boss to be proud. Perhaps it's in working yourself up to get that bigger house, that better car, or your degree, or even coming top of the class in a spelling competition. Maybe it's having the desire to have the best garden in the street. Whatever it is, we're all liable to pride from time to time. And what does Philippians 2 remind us? It reminds us to humble ourselves with the ultimate model of humility in mind, Jesus. It's under pressure that Daniel is called to speak truth into the life of Nebuchadnezzar. But let me make something clear before we go further. It's one thing to have an opinion about something or someone, and that's very different to speaking God's truth into a situation. Because your version or my version of truth may not be God's. So be careful. Speak out God's truth, not our own. And we can possibly speak to God. We cannot possibly speak God's truth to others if we're not allowing him to speak his truth into our lives. If we do allow him to illuminate things in our lives, and if we are living a life illuminated by him, we then have the power of the Holy Spirit within us to speak out against untruths in the world. And what a great time to do that. What a great time of the year to do that. The rest of the world are celebrating Halloween for what seems like days when it's one day. It's not even a day. That's not God's truth. What a time to speak out. What a time to speak out when there are issues all around Newcastle. And you probably saw something of the news yesterday in Merriweather. Satan is so much more in earnest than we are. He buys up the opportunity while we are wondering how much it will cost. So let's serve. Let's seize every opportunity to speak God's truth into the world. The interpretation of Nebuchadnezzar's dream was given to Daniel by God. And over these four chapters, Nebuchadnezzar and Daniel had built up some kind of relationship. And I suppose this next part is a bit like asking a friend if your bottom looks big in a new outfit. So Daniel interprets the dream, and we pick this up in verse 20 to 27. Perhaps someone else would like to read verses 20 to 27. Thank you. That's pretty hard-hitting truth, isn't it? We don't fully see Nebuchadnezzar's response, but stand in his shoes for a moment. Actually, they're probably gold thongs. But how would you feel? All that you'd worked for, all that you thought you were, was to be stripped away. And perhaps there's a chance that may already have happened to you in life. Those things of which you were once proud have been stripped away. The good news is that God can restore your soul. God can restore you. Well, for Nebuchadnezzar, it was his continued pride that needed to be pruned, or rather hacked down. And so in verse 29, when he's still spouting on about how great he is, he says, if we look forward to 29. He was walking on the roof of the royal palace of Babylon, and he said, "Is this not magnificent Babylon, which I have built as a royal capital by my mighty power for my glorious majesty?" While the words were still in the king's mouth, a voice came from heaven, "The kingdom has departed from you. You shall be driven away from human society, and your dwelling shall be with the animals of the field." Well, Nebuchadnezzar had been warned, and it had been made pretty clear that he ought to stop seeing himself as mighty and instead proclaim God as the mighty one. And he hadn't listened to God. He hadn't allowed the knowledge of God to sink deep into his heart. How often do we not listen to God, and how often do we not acknowledge him in all our ways? Sometimes we've already taken the path before we acknowledge him. Proverbs 3:6 says, "In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight." Well, through Nebuchadnezzar's second dream, we see that he, the tall tree of the forest, is cut down to size. And that happens fairly literally. He's stripped of everything. And Nebuchadnezzar, over these four chapters we've worked with so far, appears to be surviving at life, taking one step forward and two steps back, as they say. You see, he has heard about the living God. He acknowledges something about God, but then he goes back to denying God. So if you compare a stump of a tree, which is what Nebuchadnezzar's life looked like at this point, and then compare it with this from Psalm 1. "Happy are those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or take the path that sinners tread, or sit in the seat of scoffers, but their delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law they meditate day and night. They are like the trees planted by streams of water, which yield their fruit in its season. And the leaves do not wither. In all they do, they prosper." So a complete contrast to a stump of a tree. And all because that tree is planted by streams of living water. It's nourished by living water, the water of life, whose only source is God. All because of that consistent connection to God, the source of life. Because it is quite possible to live a life simply by existing, perhaps by getting through one point of pressure to the other. However, it is fully possible to live to the full and abundant life, in the full and abundant life that Christ wants for us. "I have been crucified," says Galatians 2:20, "with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loves me and gave himself for me." Now that really is life. It could be that your story is not too dissimilar to Nebuchadnezzar's at this point in chapter 4. Well, the wonderful news is that God doesn't want us to be stumps. He wants us to flourish and to grow in him. So it might surprise you that this next part of chapter 4 was written by Nebuchadnezzar himself, if anyone would like to read from verses 34 to 37. Thank you. So what was this pagan king doing writing a bit of the Bible, you might ask? Well, this was Nebuchadnezzar's own testimony, his own story of how God dealt with him and turned his life around. We've seen the madness of King Nebuchadnezzar. We've seen the sanity of King Nebuchadnezzar. And we see the goodness and mercy of the King of Heaven. And that goodness and mercy and the life of the life bringer extends to you and to me. If there is repentance in our heart, and if there is, the very same life that raised Jesus from the dead after 3 days can be breathed into us by him. Life. Let's live it closely with Christ, living verse 34, lifting our eyes to heaven, and not just when we're under pressure, but each day. We're coming to a point of time where we have the opportunity, of course, of responding to God. We don't just do this once. We don't just do it occasionally. We're called to respond to him each day. And we're going to sing as we respond. We're going to sing "When All Is Stripped Away." Just coming before God, just as we are. And as we respond in song and in prayer, you may like to come and use the green paint to put some leaves with maybe your thumb or your fingerprint. And you might like just to imprint a leaf on one of the branches. And feel free to do that. There's a baby wipe down there if you can wipe your fingers off. Wipe the paint off, not your fingers. And feel free to respond in any way that you want to. But I'll leave this verse with you. "Let your roots grow down into him, and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth that you were taught. and you will overflow with thankfulness. I just ask this morning, are you rooted and grounded in him? Are you wanting to ask him to help you to flourish, to help you to grow? Perhaps you might want to just put those signs of growth on the canvas, but just put them in your heart. Ask God what it is that he requires of you.